Joining us this morning, Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Well, good to have you on. Say, we have the fire last week. What's your take on all that? Now that we're in fire season.
Yeah, it is a concern for me. You know, we've definitely had, unfortunately, a past history of devastating wildfires in our area here in North Central Washington, including Chelan, which has shut down the tourist season up there at least once or twice. So I'm certainly hoping we have a mild fire season this summer. We had unusual precipitation late in the spring, so I'm sure hoping that helps. But that 1,200-acre Stayman Flats fire between Inyat and Chelan, where you're at, that certainly kind of reminded everybody of what it could be throughout the month of August. So I just want to encourage everybody to be cautious. You know, a lot of these wildfires, unfortunately, are man-made causes with either fireworks or campfires that get astray, or, you know, surprisingly, people trying to actually burn brush on their property, or doing some sort of welding that creates a spark. So I just really want everybody to be really cautious about that. But, you know, statewide, in terms of firefighting, I kind of look at it as two aspects. We have the firefighting efforts, which include, you know, deployment of air assets and work with local crews, and all of that is very important. But fortunately, the state has been able to acquire more air assets in recent years and pre-position those air assets and contract with some airplanes. Private aircraft that have been very effective at initial response. So that's been important. But then the other aspect is kind of the longer term strategic thinning, prescribed burning, clearing the underbrush, more of forest management practices or on wildlands, in protecting the wildlands so they're not, they don't have as much fuel to burn. So that includes the prescribed burning and other things. So, I mean, I think there are a couple different ways that we can continue to go about the wildfire efforts overall. But ultimately, what I'm hoping, which I think we're beginning to see in the state, is being able to put out the fires soon after they start and to get them contained, rather than what it was like some years ago, it seemed like, where we just kind of let fires burn and kind of managed around it. And so I'm really hoping we can continue to be proactive at the state level. We have invested a lot, significantly more state dollars in recent years, both on the firefighting as well as the forest management practices. And I'm really hoping they, you know, start coming around. And hopefully we have a modest fire season this summer, but August will be a important month for that.
Well, it seems the different agencies are definitely working more in cooperation and are all attacking fires. They did a fabulous job of getting that fire under control, so that's helping, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah, it is. And you know what also helps is it's, you know, it depends on the wildfires throughout the whole western United States. And you know, if the wildfires in British Columbia, Oregon, and California, and even Colorado are manageable as well, then when we do have an outbreak here in North Central Washington or some other area of our state, we have the air assets from other areas to assist. But during certain difficult times when the whole western United States is battling wildfires, we have sometimes we're competing to get the air assets. And that's why in my conversations with Commissioner Hillary Franz at the DNR, she and I, along with a lot of other legislators, all agree that we need our own improved air assets in Washington State so we can kind of control our own destiny when it comes to, you know, being able to do that initial response. Because the initial response, you know, as you mentioned, Jeff, that can be play a big role over the next week or two when we're battling the fires to get them fully contained. And I'm fortunately, this Stayman Flats fire, as I understand it, is now 100% contained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're happy about that.
Absolutely. Social media post by former KOZI owner and alumni, Jerry Eisenhart. Really interesting post, in fact, bringing up the fact that State Route 150, now almost 100 years old, there's been tremendous growth here in the Lake Chelan Valley. The tourism continues to grow. And that road, that little two-lane road, is just being stretched to its limits. What is your take on the opportunity to perhaps create an alternate route?
Well, it would certainly be an interesting discussion, as well as trying to widen that route, although that seems difficult as we know it. But State Route 150, it is a state route. It is a state highway, approximately 8 miles from Manson to Chelan. Basically, the process for that, there need to be a lot of coordination with the Washington State Department of Transportation, as well as the Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council. Now, the Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council is a transportation planning organization for Chelan and Douglas counties. It's comprised of a county commissioner from both sides of the river, the mayors from both sides of the river, the Regional Port Authority, Link Transit, and others all participate on this council, and they help plan for the priorities of our region in terms of transportation investments. And so while a lot of those priorities have been focused on the Wenatchee Valley area, I think it is very prudent to look ahead and make sure we have all areas of Chelan and Douglas counties covered. And so I would really encourage Jerry, as well as other stakeholders, to make sure they're reaching out to the Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council to make sure that Highway 150 improvements could be potentially on that list. We did, as a state, fund the NOCEM roundabout, which is along that way between Chelan and Manson, as you know. And I think that has helped from what I understand. As far as like an alternate route, I don't know the logistics of how that could play out, but I certainly think some maintenance and preservation efforts along the existing route could be helpful to have some safety improvements. Also, perhaps maybe more turn lane opportunities or a passing lane opportunity along that route, even if it's just one passing opportunity or multiple turn lanes. That would probably involve widening that route at certain sections. I think that could be helpful. And then also, as you mentioned, not only a lot of drivers now driving that route since Highway 150 was constructed, but there is a lot of increased pedestrian uses on that stretch. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes when you have cyclists on there, it could really slow down traffic because everybody wants to be careful. And I know that, you know, just knowing our governor now and the current DOT, which is a function of the executive branch of government, they are focused a lot on pedestrian safety and bike paths and things like that. So maybe there's some opportunity to make some safety improvements along Highway 150, improve the preservation aspect, add some turn lanes, maybe a passing lane here and there, and then maybe also some widen it a little bit if you can in some areas for a bike path. And all of those things, that collection of things, could really help. As far as an alternate path, that's a possibility. I'd love to see that. The state did just pass a major transportation investment package. As you know, it's called the Move Ahead Washington Package. It covers the next 16 years of state investments. But if there is another smaller package of investments for new investments, perhaps something like an alternative route for 150 could be considered. But that would only be if the Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council plans for it and sort of makes it a priority.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the conversation will continue in the coming days and years for sure. Before we run out of time, let's touch base on your upcoming listening tour.
Yes, I'm excited about that. It's actually going to be my sixth annual listening tour. So I've done 5 years already. This will be number six. It's basically an opportunity where I get a chance to connect with constituents where they are traveling throughout our district. In the past, I've traveled to East Wenatchee, Chelan, Quincy, Mansfield, Bridgeport, Waterville, Winthrop, you name it. I've had good conversations up in Chelan with folks. And Chelan will be another stop this year. For the last 2 years, the listening tour has been mostly virtual because of pandemic issues, but I'm excited to bring it back in person this year. We'll still have the option if people want to Zoom in and have conversations with me, we can do that. But we're planning on traveling to Leavenworth, Cashmere, Chelan, and the Wenatchee Valley, as well as the new district this year, North Bend, Carnation, Monroe, Sultan, parts of unincorporated Snohomish and King County, because they're part of the new legislative district going forward. So, yeah, looking forward to the sixth annual listening tour. It's actually going to be split this year. We're going to do the 12th district, as we know it, Leavenworth, Cashmere, Chelan, Wenatchee Valley, in mid-September, as we normally do, and then the new areas of the district in mid-November, because I'm not technically allowed to reach out to the new areas of the district until after the November elections. So just like the last couple of years where we've done hybrid listening sessions with Zoom and other remote options, this year it's going to be a little different as well, but looking forward to getting to some new areas as well for the sixth annual listening tour.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to having you back out here in Chelan for sure.
Yeah, likewise. I look forward to some good discussions up there with folks in Chelan, Manson, and beyond. So thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
Always a pleasure. We love it. Senator Brett Hawkins, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. Yeah. All right. Be
thank
well
you.
Now. You bet.